Didn't the Lord give us just the most glorious day to finish our study? I love it. I am so, and I was looking at, there are some of us who are not convinced, and you still have your wraps, and you're thinking, no, who knows what's going to happen. There are others who, like I did this morning, just had to go with spring. You know, it's just so wonderful to have that mild weather. I thought I'd at least need a jacket, and when I walked outside, I thought, how beautiful it is today. So I'm so thankful. Some announcements to make first. The first being, you know, as I have shared in the past, and as any of you who know who have gone to Athey for any length of time, in the summer, women's ministries are just flat. We don't have any. And the reason for that has been because we know you gals get really busy in the summer, and so we just take that as a break off. Invariably, we have women saying to us throughout the summer, when do we meet again now? It's been so long. So we got to talking about it, and we have decided Ironworks isn't going to meet during the summer. So we decided we're going to kind of jump in on Saturday mornings. It'll be once a month, but we're going to start June 9th. We don't have everything else all down, so you're really the first people to be hearing about this practically. I've shared it with my single moms. But we'll be starting June 9th, and what we're going to do, it's going to be a little different than we've had in the past. We're going to have women share their testimony. And again, that's been something I have loved about this study, just opening that opportunity for women to share who the Lord has been in their lives. And I just know it's going to be a rich time. I'm not going to tell you who our first speaker is, but I will tell you this. When I was praying about it, the Lord immediately brought her name to my mind. And at that moment, I didn't know if it was the Lord or just me, because I love her. But my response to what I thought was my thought was, no, she'd never say yes. And so I happened to be talking to Amy, and I told Amy, and by the way, but I did follow up with calling this woman. And her first response was, oh, I can't imagine that, but I'll pray about it. Talked to Amy and told her I had asked her. And immediately Amy was just kind of going, don't think so. Saw that woman at church that night, and our eyes just kind of locked, and she said, I've prayed all day long. I've cried buckets, and I'm 90% yes. And then in the, you know, following days, the Lord did show her, yes, this is in fact what he has. So don't miss June 9th, and be listening for the announcements, watching for the flyers, because truly, this will be just a wonderful, wonderful time. We'll meet here in the sanctuary, so it's the kind of thing that you could bring your neighbors to if they wanted to come, women or your daughters. I would say probably, as we usually say, about 14 and up, that would be totally fine. We didn't decide, but I don't think there's going to be childcare, correct? We don't know. So that's still out. You can pray about that. But that is, as you can imagine, that's a big thing. And so I had just kind of had in my mind that we wouldn't have it. But one never knows. This morning's teaching is going to be purposely a little shorter. And after my teaching, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go out into the foyer, and there's going to be all sorts of little yummies waiting for you. And so you get your food, but then go directly back with your food to your prayer group. And it will just be a time where you get to fellowship with each other, share with one another. Perhaps you might even share, you know, something that the Lord specifically said to you in the course of the study, perhaps did in your heart, in your life, that you would want to share with your sisters. But the big thing I'm holding the leaders accountable to is at 5:11, please pray so that at 11 o'clock, those who are moms can get downstairs and get their kids. Because as I've said to you in the past, that's really important. These gals who take care of the kids, pardon me for my huskiness, really need to get out. So we need to do that. And so that would be my prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do come to you, and Lord, we are just so grateful for who you are in our lives, for your goodness to us, your kindness, your love. And Lord, we're just asking that you would have your way with this morning, from the things that you've given me to share to the time of fellowship and prayer. Lord, have your way. We love you, Lord, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, if you were here, you know that the Lord gave us a special time of just being quiet with him. And we were sent away with kind of an assignment for that time, and that was Jesus asking you, who do you say that I am? And I felt that that was such an important question that he presented to us. Because here we've spent the year going through his names, and we could go our way, and hopefully this wouldn't happen, but it's always possible, and not apply it to our own lives, to our own relationship with him. I think that can be a danger sometimes when you've known the Lord for a long time. You take in, but you perhaps don't always apply it the way a new believer does. You know, if you can recall back when you were a new believer, you can be sitting there in church and it's like every week, week after week, the pastor is speaking to you. And it's because your ears are so open. And it's just amazing. You see the Lord everywhere in your life. You know what our pastor calls God awinces. Because you're so aware of him. You have a heightened awareness. And my prayer would be, God, may that be what we live in. May we see you in our lives. And it's so funny that I started last week, that a word came into my mind. I prayed it. And then I kept seeing it. And the word, and the reason I even noted it, is because it's a word that I don't normally think of. But the word was mundane. And I have, including yesterday in my reading, I saw the word mundane again. And I just thought, that is so interesting to me. But the thing the Lord was using it in my life for was that God, you know, life can be so mundane. You know, it just goes on and on, and you do the same things so much of the time every single day. Mundane. But what happens when you have that awareness of the Lord's presence in your life? It takes the mundane and makes it amazing. because you know that he has spoken. You know that he has revealed to you his presence with us, with you. And so I love the fact that I believe that is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to take our lives, which might seem very ordinary, very mundane, and reveal himself to us so that what might have been mundane 1 minute before is suddenly just amazing, awe-inspiring. That's what he would like. I'm sure that you enjoyed that quiet time last week, because from my perspective, I was amazed at how quiet the sanctuary was. I don't know if that even registered to you, but I mean, well, on a carpet, but I was going to say, you could hear a pin drop. You know, it was that quiet. And I know what I, you know how you sometimes anticipate how you're going to do something. And of course, I knew that this was going to be the assignment. This is how we were going to spend our time. And I had kind of pictured that I was going to go by and pick up the elements for communion. But then I would find a place to sit and would leave them to the end and then have my time with the Lord and finish with communion. In my mind, that would have been a very sweet progression. Somewhere between that thought and when I actually sat down, the Lord changed it all. And instead, I started with communion. And I ended up just thinking and thanking the Lord for all the things that I'm grateful for all the things that he has done in my life. And even as I was considering the question, who do you say that I am? I became so keenly aware of the fact that I had been forgiven. And so, perhaps in part, it was because last Tuesday also happened to be the birthday of my youngest two, Brian and Kim. And of course, as you moms probably do the same thing, because of that, my mind had already gone back to that season in my life. And for the umpteenth time, I expressed to the Lord how I wished I had been walking with him during that time. Because unfortunately, I was not. And many, many times I have thought of the impact it would have had on my life then, had I had that personal relationship with him. You know, the effect it would have had on those immediate years following their birth. I mean, those years were a delight. They were full of joy. But they were also years that I felt very overwhelmed. Everything was right here, as I perceived it. And what a difference it would have been had I known that he was with me and that he would carry that for me. So as I was having communion and thinking about these things, I immediately heard Isaiah 1:18. And if you've heard me share many times before, you will know that that is the scripture that the Lord gave me in the past that was a life changer for me. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." That was God's first answer to me. And I was probably around 15. And I remember acknowledging it and identifying it as his first answer to me by writing it in the margin of my Bible. And it was a couple of decades later, after not walking with him, that he once again led me to that verse. And he just last week, during communion, gave me that little nudge, Isaiah 1:18, and how I thanked him for the fact that I am forgiven. I thank him for his provision of forgiveness and his gift of new beginnings. I'd love to know how you answered that question last week. Did you answer it? Or was your attention diverted to something else that has been on your heart? And the thing to know is that could have been the Lord too, because he knows what's on your heart. And he would want to use that time. He may have known that was just the time you needed to be with him and to pour out your heart to him over whatever that subject was. Now, that doesn't mean that he still wouldn't have you answer that question. So if you did go in a different direction, I would ask you, write down that question and purpose to have a time with the Lord where you answer it. If there's one lesson that's been repeated over and over and over in our studies last year and this, is that our Creator is a personal God who wants to be known by us. And one of the ways he reveals himself to us is through being whatever we are in need of. Both last year and this, we looked at the story of the burning bush, where Moses was commissioned to go deliver the Israelites from Egypt. And he said to God, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God answered, "Say, I am that I am sent you." And we learned that from that time on, God's personal name is Jehovah, which is from the same Hebrew root as I am. And it was because of that I decided that this year it seemed like a logical progression when we were going to be looking at the names of Jesus to be looking at his I am statements. So those were the first names we looked at. And it was my effort to kind of help us connect the dots between Jehovah and Jesus so that we would see more clearly Jehovah is Jesus. By calling himself I am, Jesus was declaring that he stands outside of time. With him, there is no past nor future. In our study a couple of weeks ago, we read the words of Jesus from Revelation 1:8, where it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," says the Lord God. Excuse me. "I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One." And being the Alpha and Omega, Jesus was saying that he is eternal. I've loved studying the names of Jesus, each week learning more of who Jesus is. And again, not who Jesus was, but who Jesus is. In our first studies, we were reminded of all that he is as we went through the first seven I am names. And each name being in the present tense. Again, in the present tense, because he is. That was the beginning of our study, and that was followed by 10 weeks of other names and teachings. And so if you missed any of those, always remember you can go online to the Atheist site and hear those. It's been a constant refrain in all of my studies that you've heard, And that is my great desire, that we would know Jesus better and love him more. And it's so important to realize it's not about acquiring knowledge of the Lord, but developing in our heart relationship with him. That is the longing I have for each one of us. And essentially, that's what these last 2 years have been about. First, studying the names of God as seen in the Old Testament, and then the names of Jesus as we see him in the New Testament. Each name revealing who he is and who he wants to be in our lives. He is whatever we are in need of. Do we come to him and ask? Jesus said in John 16:24, "Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Now, just to remind you, a little parenthetical statement. When Jesus says, "Ask anything in my name," he's meaning in his nature. So we can't ask him for just anything and say, "Well, in Jesus' name," and think it's going to be answered. It has to be asked in his nature. And when we're asking for something that's in his nature to give, we can trust him and believe that he has heard that prayer and he will answer. He wants us to come to him with our needs. And he delights in meeting those needs. And in the process, he reveals himself to us. All that we saw Jehovah to be in last year's study still left one aspect, one need that could only be met by Jesus. And it's our greatest need. To be forgiven. I love that story in Luke 5:17, where the four men bring their friend on a mat to see Jesus. He's paralyzed. And when they get to the house where Jesus is, it's absolutely packed full. And they're not dismayed by that or deterred by that. They climb up on the roof. They take off parts of the roof and lower their friend before Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said to the paralytic when he looked down at him? "You know, son, your sins are forgiven." And I'm sure you do the same thing, I've pictured myself as one of those friends peering down through the hole, so excited to hear Jesus say, "Rise up and walk," you know. And instead they hear him say, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I am sure that at least I would have been saying, if not all of us, "Oh no, Jesus, it's not forgiveness. It's he can't walk." You know, that's what you need to do. But there was this commotion in the group in the home. And Jesus looks and he knows what they're all thinking. And he says, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? But so that you would know the authority that I have to say your sins are forgiven, he turned to the man, "Rise up and walk." Boom. The man got up. He took his mat. Went out the door praising God. The reason Jesus addressed his need to be forgiven is because it was his greatest need. And we can come to Jesus with all sorts of needs. And it's not that he doesn't care. It's not that he doesn't hear us. But he knows our greatest need. And that's what he will always address. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is Jehovah. And he came to save us from our sins. In preparing for this study, I came across two sentences that just blessed me so much. And it made me smile. They said, we can now say, not only where there is need, there is God, but where there is sin, there is Jesus. And that's something far more wonderful. And I absolutely smiled as I thought, where there is need, there is God. That was our study last year. But where there is sin, there is Jesus. And that was our study this year. And so that takes me back to my quiet time with the Lord last week. When I considered his question, who do you say that I am? I thought I'd read you my answer. Jesus, my Savior, the one who died for me, the one who makes all things new, the one who has separated my sins from me as far as the east is from the west, my comforter, my healer, my husband, my friend. Is it possible that there could be one woman here who does not know her sins are forgiven? And that doesn't necessarily pertain to only unbelievers. Granted, unbelievers can't know that their sins are forgiven because they don't have relationship with the Lord who forgives their sins. But as a Christian, I know when I did not feel forgiven, it didn't change the fact that Jesus had died for my sins, that my sins were in fact forgiven. All I can tell you is I was heavily burdened by the weight of those sins. I had to come to him. I had to allow him to reveal himself to me, to bring me to that place where I went and searched out that old Bible I had had as a teenager, and just going through it, my eyes just were drawn to the page where written in the margin was my first answer. And all those years later, Isaiah 1:18 was just as real as the first time he gave it to me. If one of you is in that place of not feeling forgiven, please, I can't tell you how much I hope and pray that you would come up to me afterwards or sometime or email me, or you would share it with your group leader. But please, I so want you to know that Jesus died for every one of those sins. There is no sin that he did not die for. And it would break my heart to think, whether you've been in the study all year or you just happened to show up today, that you would leave and not know that your greatest need, the need to be forgiven, has been met. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus opens and closes the New Testament. as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, it could also be said that he is in the first verse of the Bible and in the last verse, because Jesus is our Creator, our Savior, our Jesus. Jesus, name above all names. May we know him better and love him more. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you and would pray that you are speaking to every heart here today. Lord, that they would know you have met their greatest need to be forgiven. Oh, how I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, you are the God of new beginnings, that you want us to walk in those unhindered, unhampered by the burden of guilt. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us last year, this year, in so many ways. But Lord, my prayer is that that hasn't been just information we've been taking in, but that, God, you have been doing a work in our hearts, and that truly we would know you in a far more personal way than perhaps we did before, and that we would love you more than ever, and that would be evidenced in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.